Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0RK, and welcome to Pocket Monster Radio Society Fusion Radio. The net operates on and through the Minnesota, Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in your net control. Tonight's snare control stations are K04K Chuck, Whiskey 4 in the Oscar Delta Otis, and the usual crew, I hope, will show up. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its story from Earl Bakken, who was the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mbt.com. And you can tell I'm struggling a little bit here. Somehow I'm switching from headphones and foot pedals and all of that fun stuff to just using an HD. Makes it much more difficult to type. Net control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call, put it on the list in order received. And remember, there is a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select Minwiz and then Minwiz chat. Are there any announcements for the net this evening? All right, hearing no announcements, we'll start the check-in portion of the net. If you have comments or questions for the net, now's the time to check in. Give us your name, city, and state. Check in now.
Net control. This is Kilo Delta 9, Gulf Victor Sierra, KD9GVS. Rick, across County, Wisconsin, with a question.
All right, Kilo Delta 9, Golf Victor Sierra. I think it was Rick. Why don't you go ahead? What do you got for us tonight?
Good evening, Chuck, and first of all, thank you very much again to all you guys for running the net every Monday. It's always informative to me, so appreciate it. My question is, I just recently purchased an FTM-100 mobile radio from a friend of mine, and a second-hand unit, and I noticed that the label on the box and the radio both say made in China, and the other Yaesu radios I have here, I know, are all labeled as being manufactured in Japan. I was wondering, is there any significance to that at all? Or did I buy some kind of a copy made in China there? Again, thanks you guys. KD9GDS, back to the net.
All right, thank you. Good question. And I'm going to send that one over to Rich. Chris, K9EQ, would you go ahead and take that for me, K0RK?
Okay. I can't really say for sure if it's a counterfeit product or not.
100% positive, but I can tell you how some of the production works. That Yaesu does use China for assembly of some of their products. A lot of them are accessories and things like that. In the case of radios, what they're essentially doing is they're doing the final assembly in China. So when a box says where it's made, you know, that doesn't necessarily indicate, you know, where all the parts come from. And so the essentially what China has been doing in some cases for Yaesu, I don't, you know, depending on how things are and whatever, whether they do it or not, or they are having capacity problems in Japan. The electronics is essentially, as I understand it, always built in Japan, but they may send, you know, like the PC boards and things to China and have final assembly done there, which is, I mean, the electronic assembly is basically done by a machine. There aren't people involved in that, in the assembly and testing of those boards. But there is a lot of manual labor and screwing the boards into the chassis and stuff like that. So my understanding is they can do a final assembly in China, which means made in China gets put on the box, and then it comes back to Japan for final test and shipment. I haven't seen that on the radios a lot, and so you know I don't know that it's indicative of a trend or anything like that. But the radio should be fine, and you know, if it's not working, I don't know. Then maybe it isn't. But anyway, that's the deal with Made in China for Yaesu. Back to you, Chuck K92.
Thank you, Chris. Information I didn't even know. Rick, did that help you out at all? Give you more heads up on what's going on?
Oh, it did, fellas. Appreciate that. Yeah, interesting. Interesting bit of information. Thank you, Chris. And, yeah, I have no reason to believe that the radio does not work. I just a curiosity, I guess. So thanks for the information, guys. 89 GBS.
All right, good question. You know, there's new people all the time, so if you think you're asking a question that you're sure has been answered before, go ahead and ask it again. Because we do get a lot of new people coming through that probably haven't heard them. Now we're looking for anybody else with a comment or question for the net. If you've got one, give us your name, city, and state, and we'll get you on the log and check in with
you. AA4 USA, Frank in Lexington, Kentucky, horse capital city of the world. Copy.
Kilo Charlie 3C Foxtrot Bravo Mike, Frank from Parkville, Maryland, got a comment.
All right, Kilo Alpha 4, United States of America, USA, Frank, and Kilo Charlie 3, Fox Bravo, Mike. Mike, take them in the order they came in, so Frank, you're up. Kilo Alpha 4, Union Sierra Alpha, and why don't you back off your mic a little bit? You're way, way louder than everybody else. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm running mobile here. I never have checked in with y'all before and thought I would. I hadn't been on WireZX too long. I do a lot of D-Star and, of course, HF and other things like that. But that being said, I'm in the Mobile, and heard y'all on earlier. I've been listening to a little bit of the traffic there for a few minutes. But name's Frank in Lexington, like I said, and just want to know I was listening in, and I'll have to check in with y'all from now on a little bit, maybe more regular. But I'm set up at home also, but I actually just put the little Yaesu 300 in here with WireZX on it. I just put it in. I usually run HF here in the automobile, but put the 2 meter and the WireZX thing in here. So just having a little fun, and no comments or questions, but everybody sounds good and clean here in Lexington, Kentucky. So I'll turn it back to the control operator. I think it's Chuck. This is KA4USA, and that's not a vanity call. It's an original. About 1972 there, Roger.
All right, Frank. Thanks for the check-in there, and you can go ahead and listen all you want. Next up is Kilo Charlie 3, Fox Bravo Mike. Mike, go ahead. Parkville, Maryland.
Good evening to everybody on the net, and thank you, Chuck, for letting me check in. Okay, the gentleman that asked you a question about the SDM100DR. Okay, I got mine several years back, and it, on the box it says made in China. And the some of the parts that included are made in Taiwan, Japan, and China. So I let him know that on the box it's made in China, and it's a really good radio. So it says Yaesu.com there. I have no trouble with it, and it works wonderful on the WireX and plus on my 144 and my 430 megahertz. Thank you for letting me check in, and back to you, Chuck. This is KC3FBN. Back to you.
All right. Well, thanks for the fill on that, Mike. It's always good to get a little bit more data. With that, we're looking for anybody else who has comments or questions for the net. Name, city, state, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Name is Bruce. November 9, Delta Golf Lima, and I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with a question about an FTM 300.
All right, November 9, Delta Golf Lima, Bruce, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go ahead with your question about the FTM 300. I'm sure we've got somebody who can help you figure it out.
Well, it's not very technical, but just something I've not been able to discover through the manual or even Googling it, you know. But on the screen, the display screen to the left, there is a vertical bar that is blue and red when I'm, you know, obviously when I'm transmitting and even when it's receiving. Then across the bottom you have like the standard S meter. I've got a couple of handhelds, FT3, you know, the handheld FT3D handheld, and I don't find that bar there, and I'm just wondering what is that? It does seem like it is full most of the time, where the lower one is more like a signal strength. So just a bit of curiosity about that, and it radio seems to work fine, and I'm not an expert by any means, and but curious. Curiosity killed the cat, Chuck. K0ORK, thank you, and I'll be listening. N9DGL in Fort Wayne.
All right, I'm going to send you over to Otis, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta. He does have a question that I would appreciate your answering before he picks it up. What bar? Is it the blue-green one? I don't have my 300 here on the bench. I've got it out in the car. There's gold out there. So, Otis, this one's up to you. Go ahead. Actually, Bruce, go ahead and try and clarify what you're looking at on the screen, and then send it to, it'll go to Otis.
Yeah, Roger. It's the, on the very left of the screen. I've got the split. You know, it's displaying two different modes there, two different frequencies. You know, two different channels. But on the upper one, I have the up here is 145.65 in Fort Wayne, and but immediately to the left, there's a right against the edge of the screen, red top, lower part is blue. And that is what I'm curious about, what that is and what it means.
All right, Chuck, we'll see if we can help Bruce out since he's clarified that. Now, I thought that's what he was indicating, but I just wanted to make sure before I gave him an answer on that. You've got two VFOs on that, Bruce. And unlike the 100 that I'm looking at right in front of me, it's lit up both green and blue. So that is your mode indicators. When the top of the bar changes to red, you are transmitting. And then it will go green when you are receiving. And if you actually bring an active frequency on VFOB, it will be the same thing. You will actually see the same banner bar, the LED on the display on that. You don't see that on the HTs because they're not set up like that. I think the indicator light will change into depending on whether it's digital or analog as far as the receive, but it's not a split display like that. So hopefully that answers your question. K0RK, W4OD, hopefully that helped him out. Chuck, back to you.
K4USA with a comment.
Come in for me there. And Bruce, did that handle the question for you?
Yeah. I just, it appeared that it had, you know, from what I could see when it was coming on and what it was doing, that it, so that indicates, I'm assuming that the red, the DN is lit up red in the transmit, and that corresponds to the red top of that bar. And then I'm assuming the blue then is probably corresponding to a receive mode or something like that. I'm not 100% clear on that, but it is that generally the gist of it there?
You are correct. Got a couple different radios here, and when they are receiving digital, they are green-blue, the green and the blue, and when they're transmitting digital, they're red and blue. So those are your two choices. I forget what color, I think it's for analog, I don't remember that one. But it is in your manual, and again, I don't have mine nearby, but it is in there. Go look at the picture that shows the screen, and it'll give you a little bit more information there. Back to you, Bruce.
K4USA, comment on this question.
Manuals. I did call through that, but I'll look again, and because it didn't seem to, you know, be of any issue, and I sit here and listen often, and you guys have a great net here, and appreciate the opportunity to throw this piece out there and see what exactly it means. But I appreciate it. Well, I'll listen out then. I think someone else said they had a comment there or something, so I'll send it back to you, Chuck, and thank you again, and let you pick up if there was another comment there. We'll be listening. N9DGL in Fort Wayne.
N9GL, this is K. For you, he'll come back. K8 4 years.
Negative on that, because you didn't go through net control. You are not an accepted frequency or user right now. This is a controlled net, and you have to be called on by net control before you can speak. So, KA4USA, I will get back to you, but I'm going to call for other traffic first. If anybody else has any traffic, now is your chance. Name, city, state, go ahead. All right, hearing no other traffic, I will go back to Kilo Alpha 4, Union Sierra Alpha. Frank, go ahead with your comment on the FTM 300.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I wasn't familiar with your regulations, so I apologize. I'll try not to let it happen again. Anyway, on that 100 radio, like I said, forget about the colors, but the left-hand scale, whether it's red and blue or whether it's green and blue, whatever. That is any time that a signal comes in, whether you're on like the night or going through a reflector or a repeat or whatever, any time that station picks up that signal, that lights up, and that's all that is. And then when you talk, it'll change colors. But the bottom line scale, I don't think anybody commented on that. That bottom line scale is just like an S meter. Shows you the power of the whoever's talking coming into you. That should answer your question there. And on both screens, whether it's A or B, it does the same. It means the same thing. But the bottom scale is the signal coming in when somebody starts talking, and the one on the left upper corner is just when if you got it on scan. Every time a repeater kicks in or something like that, that left-handed scale will light up. I hope that answers your question. KA4USA, Frank and Lex.
All right, Frank, thanks very much for chiming in on that. And we'll throw it out to the whole group again. If you have a comment or question for the net, this is your chance. Name, city, state, go ahead. Even if you think it's probably been asked before, there's enough new people, it can be asked again, and we'll inform some new ones. So, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
K9EQ, why don't you go ahead? What do you got for us tonight, Chris?
Okay, I just wanted to mention we are doing the live stream again tonight. I have stuck that into the chat window. It actually worked out. I mean, if you don't have access to a radio and you still want to participate in the net, the live stream would let you listen in, and you can use the chat window to ask your questions, because all the, mostly all the control operators see the chat window. There you go. You can also go to hamoperator.com, and there's a link for the live stream, and there's also a link for the, essentially the MinWiz podcast, which is recordings of the various nets, and happy to say that last week's net got up there in reasonable time, within a few hours. Last week's net, I was going to run the net through some signal processing to equalize it. I didn't have an opportunity to do that, but sometime here in the future, I will start doing that. One thing I wanted to mention, too, is that question in the chat group was about Chuck's audio being so much lower. And Chuck's audio is a little lower. I mean, I've got the waveforms here. I can see them. But on the other hand, we've had some stations where the audio is way too high. And what ends up happening is, you know, if you do listen to Chuck, he sounds very good. You know, there's no clipping or anything like that. And you get a raspiness when the audio is too high. So, I mean, I different ears are sensitive to it, I guess, to a different extent. But I find a lot of people on Fusion tend to drive the audio too high, continuing. It is the unfortunate case with Fusion, or the ASU radios, that they don't manage the microphone audio very well. And that you need a, you know, like on the radios that have numbers for mic gain, you probably want to run them at a 3 or a 4 on digital. A 5 would be the default. If you're in a noisy environment and you're talking louder to overcome the noise, you may even need to go down to a 1. A lot of times if you have the radio in the default 5, you can easily hold it out at arm's length and talk in a normal voice, and everybody will hear you just fine. So it is pretty sensitive. The issue comes when you go to FM. On FM, you need the 5 or more, because pretty much everybody on FM pretty much has their deviation cranked. And then, of course, when you go into limiting on the audio on FM, it doesn't sound anywhere near as bad as when all the bits turn to 1s or 0s, and you're slamming the DA converters against the walls, and you get a really horrific kind of a clipping. Basically, that's the difference between a tube amp and a solid-state amp for the audio files. Anyway, so in most cases, the way we found that works out pretty well is if you have a radio that has numbers for mic gain, set it to a 3 or 4, or 4 or more if you're like in a quiet environment and you're talking softly, and then maybe 3 or even 2 if you're in a noisier environment. And then when you're yakking on the radio, hold the mic a couple inches away from the mouth, you know, talk across it, not into it, usual kind of business, and that'll work out pretty well. And then when you're on FM, you know, get right up on the mic and maybe raise your voice a bit, and that'll work okay for FM, because it's a pain in the you-know-what to go back and forth changing the mic gain all the time. Ideally, there would be no mic gain adjustment, and there would be a little chip in the radio or some algorithm that would adjust it, but we don't have that. If you have radios that have the high and the low and that kind of thing, not the numbers, you probably want to set them to low. There is another level below low, so you're not at the bottom. FTM 400s and 100s and such have the high, medium, low method. And usual rules, like if you are in a car, and we tend to talk louder in a noisy environment, you just want to be aware of that, and it may be worthwhile getting the gain back a little bit more. What you're trying to do is just not drive the system into clipping. How can you tell if you're in clipping? Well, if you can listen to yourself on another radio, and let's say you reduce the mic gain, but the volume coming out of the other radio stays the same, you're in clipping. That's the definition of it. So you want to decrease the mic gain or the audio level enough that so when you raise and lower it, the level that you're hearing of yourself goes up and down. If you happen to be able to access YSF, if you have a YSF kind of hotspot thing, there's the parrot channel that you can switch it to, and it will record you and send you back out. WireSX itself doesn't have that kind of a feature. If you're on the FT-991, and you're using a hand mic,
The switch in the back of the ham mic should be on too. The one position restricts the audio bandwidth, and it really sounds terrible. It's the DX mode. Big whoop. You know, never understood that. You want it in the two position because that's the full audio response to the microphone and a mic gain of about 25 to 30, and all the usual comments as well. So that's why you hear you can hear some large differences in volume, because you know, you've got some that stay well away from clipping, and it's not like FM. I mean, it's digital, right? So there isn't any advantage in being super loud. You turn up the volume, and the signal to noise stays the same. On FM, if you're not modulating enough, the noise of FM causes your signal to be less understandable. So anyway, that's what I wanted to mention, the mic gain thingy, and then the podcast thingy. And then I'm looking at next week. Next week, I'm looking at doing a little bit of a experiment here, or comparison, or whatever. We've had discussions about Bluetooth headsets and microphones and such in general. So next week, I'll maybe try to do a comparison of all the different microphones and Bluetoothy things and whatever. I'll present three different Bluetooth microphones here, and then maybe some other folks might want to come along and demonstrate a headset or something like that that they got that they're happy with. So next week we'll maybe do some talk about audio quality. So back to you, Chuck, K90Q.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. And, well, if my audio is too low, I need somebody to tell me. Chris, if I do get too low, let me know. Because I am using an FT70 right now, as my base station has been totally destroyed for miscellaneous reasons, and I'm trying to hold the radio at the same distance from my faces and get it all right is much more difficult than when I'm using a headphone and earphone. So there we go. Anybody else have a comment or question for the net? This is Chuck K0RK with the Bach Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. If you've got that question, now's your chance to ask it. Name, city, and state. Go ahead.
KD9VXC, Gurnee, Illinois. Name is Jim.
With an FTM200 comment.
KD9VXC, Jim, Gurnee, Illinois.
All right, KD9VXC, Jim, Gurnee, Illinois, and we also have Kilo Charlie 8, India, Lynn, out of Denver, Colorado. So, Jim, KD9VXC, go ahead with your question.
Comment, I just heard a comment about an FT70, and I'm trying to listen on one right now, and I'm picking you up on my FTM200, but the FT70 isn't. It's tuned into you, but it's not. I'm not hearing you.
Let's
I'm going to try, I think, Otis. We'll see if he can help us figure this one out. So, Otis, I know I'm going to send it to you, and you're going to have to ask him a bunch of questions, but why don't you go ahead?
K0 or KW4IOD. Well, we'll see if we can help Jim out. Jim, I'm going to ask you a question. You say you're not picking it up on the FT-70. What is the distance from the repeater that you are trying to monitor on that FT-70? Probably about 25 miles. I have picked it up before, but I'm not picking it up now. I'm there's something that's changed on the radio, and I don't know what it is.
Well, all right. It's one of those things where 25 miles, you know, conditions could be actually impeding your reception on that as well. Have you tried an outside antenna or anything like that in regards to you say something has changed on the radio? I don't know how if you have it programmed in manually or if you have it assigned to memory to check your frequency to see what you are actually monitoring. But that would be where I would start, to see what frequency you're actually monitoring, and then if you are on the repeater output frequency, switch over to an external antenna and see if you can actually receive it on that way. Band conditions do make a difference here in Kentucky as far as UHF, so I don't know what repeater you're listening to as far as it's VHF or UHF. It's something that I have found it does make a difference, especially indoors on an HT 25 miles from the repeater. But Chuck, that's about the only thing I've got in regards to Jim's issue on why he's not receiving on the FT-70. 25 miles from the repeater on a stock rubber duck. He said he could receive before, so I would verify the frequency is correct for the repeater, and then work my way from there. Back to you, K0ORK, W4IOD.
And I'm going to add to that, if your rubber duck has been dropped, it might be defective. Trees with leaves on them, positioning in the room, how you're holding the radio, all of those things will affect you at that distance. That's a pretty good haul for an HT. So, Jim, I know that's not exactly what you wanted to hear, but I hope that helps you make some plans. Back to you.
I have been having some kind of problems with it. I've been listening to regular sites, and you get the two little lights up there, the green light when you're receiving, and blue light when you're receiving on Fusion, but I was receiving on regular, and the right-hand blue light kept blinking on and off.
Well, the only thing I can think of there is that you've got it locked into the DM mode, so it's not going to decode just regular analog signals, or you could just be out of range. That, you know, one of the best things you could possibly do is throw it on your outdoor antenna and give it a try. You know, if you've got an antenna at 20 or 30 feet and it comes in perfectly, well, you know, you're just having a little trouble you're having a little trouble receiving. I'm going to move on from this one, Jim. Thank you for a good question. And go to Kilo Charlie 8 India. Lynn, Denver, Colorado. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, Chuck. Thank you very much. There was some discussion here in the last month or so, either during the net or the afternet discussion about an FTM 200 with the Bluetooth in it, and I just purchased the same FTM200 with the Bluetooth board, which brings up the obvious question: for a tiny bit more, you could buy an FTM300, but I chose to get the 200. There was one issue that was a particular problem when you use the Bluetooth that's built into the FTM300. The volume control does nothing once you're using a Bluetooth device. So all the volume settings have to be done on the device. Not the case with the 200. The volume control works and controls your Bluetooth device. Also, regarding the displays, surprisingly, the FTM200 is much brighter than the FTM300, at least in the case of my two radios. I have the 300 on max setting for LED, and I have the FTM200 on min, and it's still considerably brighter, which I guess the main thing there is, in the shack like I am, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. In a vehicle, you might find that the FTM200 is too bright, even when it's dim. I'll unkey for a second. Another comment. Okay, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that the FTM200 has dual receive, which I wasn't aware I was going to get, and it seems to work quite well. I have it on the default setting of checking the other VFO every 5 seconds. There are 7 different settings you can choose between a half a second and 10 seconds, and I found that you can use, in my experience, any combination of analog or digital in either VFO. And it still seems to work. One more thing. The same Bluetooth devices seem to work with both radios. We don't magically get some other things that connect with the newer FTM200 setup. PC&I, back to net.
All right, Lynn, thank you very much for the heads up on those two things, and that'll fit kind of in with what Chris is going to talk about next week, so you're all going to want to listen in when he's testing some different headsets for us. Great comments, and let's see if anybody else out there has got comments or questions for the net. This is your chance. Name, city, state. Go ahead now. All right, looks like Otis has something for us. Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta, why don't you go ahead? K0RK, W4LD. Well, Chuck, I think we've reached that point where there's a lull in the net, so I'll make an announcement. If I don't know if Chris has anything else for us or not, but just a reminder. We still have the holiday greeting special sales from Yaesu that are going to run through January 31st. And if you can find the right dealers, it does pay to shop around. You'll end up with some significant savings on some radios if you can find them in stock. So just a reminder, the FTDX 101MP's got a $300 instant coupon. The 101D's got a $200 instant coupon. The FTDX 10 has a $100 off instant coupon. The brand new radio, the FT710's got a $50 instant coupon. The FTM400XDR has a $100 off coupon. The FTM600R, 40, and the FT5DR, 60 bucks. So there were some pretty significant deals ongoing on that.
The latest I've heard on the FT-991 remains unchanged. DX Engineering still showing them out of stock, but possibly in stock by December 27th, 2022. And for the folks that are interested in the DR2X, running through December 31st, 2022. And by the way, those instant savings coupons are for North America. If you're in Europe or elsewhere, please check with your Yaesu dealer in that country. But the repair program is running through December 31st. The DR2X trade-ins are not accepted. You can get the DR2X without the land unit for $700 and with the land unit for $900. Other than that, we've worked a little bit of 10-meter group monitor mode. We made one contact today. Echo India 9, India Juliet Bravo on 29250. That's Phil in Ireland, 3,700 miles away. That just never gets old. C4FM over HF. No internet involved, but having a lot of fun with that. Chuck, that's all we've got from here this evening. And superb job calling the net, as always. K0ORK, W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Odie. And Oscar, K90Q, you've got something to add for us tonight. Go ahead.
Saw VK5JP in there, so you might have something. I just wanted to mention, I just got notified, sitting here minding my own business, listening to the net by my ISP, that they are planning system upgrades, we'll call it, for December 12th. That is a Monday, unlike the day that we have the net. According to them, most of the work will be done in the wee hours, but it will require the network to go down at times during the day. So I don't know how that will affect things here. As far as the servers go, that impacts the Minwiz server and the bridge to YSF. The YSF reflector will continue to operate. It's located in New York and pretty much 24/7, 365. It's in a commercial hosted center, so it pretty much never goes down. Anyway, so if you can't reach the Minwiz facilities, that's what's going on. We're having an ISP outage. Typically when this stuff happens, it, because it's Windows and whatever, it usually requires some action on my part to, you know, reboot the router or something like that to get things working again. So I'll try to be on top of that. But just FYI, you know, if it's not working and you think it should be, maybe send me a text and I'll check it. One other item. I was talking to N0AN Hassan down there in Iowa, over there in Iowa. I think it's not where you are, up there in Iowa. And he's a big 6-meter fan, and I really get it. 6 meters is a fun band, and everybody on the net here can work 6 meters. Your license will let you work it. And he just recently worked New Zealand on 6 meters from Iowa. That doesn't happen very often, and there were some pretty solid contacts going on there. And, you know, we'll be coming up on, you know, we're on the rising edge of the new solar sunspot cycle. And, you know, there's stories from like back in the 50s when you could talk to the world on 6 meters and things like that. But these digital modes have huge advantages over voice as far as how much energy you need and even spotting that something is going on, because you know, you might call CQ for a bet and give up, right? And then the band opens up. Some of these band openings could be minutes long or, you know, an hour long or something like that. But these digital modes really make it a lot easier to spot those openings and then take care of those openings, you know, take advantage of them because you can do a lot more with a lot less power and a lot less antenna. Hassan's guess was that the last solar cycle we didn't have these digital modes. We have, yes, RTTY, but there are specific modes now that are designed to get, you know, to be like beacons and to get information across quickly. We did not have in the previous solar cycles. So Hassan is guessing that we may be on the leading edge of a new phenomenon here where, I tend to agree with him on this, that as the solar cycle increases, we're going to see more and more really interesting things going on bands like 6 meters. So I say this by way of encouragement that if you're thinking playing around with an exciting band might be in your future, you might want to consider putting something up for 6 meters. Now, the antennas are a lot smaller for a decent amount of gain. The best 6-meter antennas are loop-fed arrays, LFAs, so that's probably the type of antenna you would want to run. And Otis points out you can run group mode on. We're going to need a group mode frequency for 6 meters, aren't we? But it is the FP8 and these kind of modes that have the gain that will that enable like working New Zealand on 6 meters. 10 meters will be fun also. And, you know, if you can string a dipole up, you're probably good to go in most cases on 10 meters. Who can't string a dipole up? You know, there's a couple of points in favor of maybe an FT991, and which is a very decent HF radio in the people's future. So there you go. Just a leading edge here. This next solar cycle might be pretty interesting. And having missed a few solar cycles in my career on amateur radio and having regretted that, you might want to just have in the back of your mind that it would be really nice to make sure that you had a 10-meter and or 6-meter antenna going. And when you really want that antenna is starting around April of next year, because that's when things really start to pick up. April, May, and June is probably the hottest time of the year for working those bands. You know, in off seasons with an Omni antenna, when I was in Minnesota, I think I've got like 26 states on 6 meters. Who would have guessed? Anyway, just want to encourage people to think about getting on 6 and of course 10 meters. They're really great bands. Back to you, Chuck, and I think Otis has something to add.
All right, thank you, Chris, and over to you, Otis, K04K.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And before we close the net, I think Pete was in there as well, so if you can pick, see if Pete has anything. We don't want to deny him the opportunity. But before I get into my announcement, Chris, they already have one for 6 meters. 51.500. I haven't worked that because I've been having too much fun on 29250, but anyhow, yes, that's one nice thing about C4FM and the newer digital modes. I think there's JT call. There's so many new modes I can't even keep up with it. Then you've got the whole Vera modes and all that, but exciting times in amateur radio. And I didn't want to leave the net this evening without recognizing someone that is a big supporter of this net and hamoperator.com. He's acknowledged us several times in his radio show every week, and that's AD4WS. Mr. Jack Prandtl in Big Bone, Kentucky. Today is his birthday. And thank you, Jack, for supporting and promoting this net and hamoperator.com. That's all I've got, Chuck. W4IOD, back to net control. Happy birthday, Jack.
Thank you, Otis. And I guess we didn't skip VK5 and Julie Potah, Pete, at Lane South, Australia. Why don't you go ahead, Pete?
Yeah, good evening, Chuck, and everyone on the venue. It was an actual accidental trigger. I knocked my hand down over and picked it up and triggered it. But while I've got the floor, further to what the gentleman said about the 200, he was spot on. I only just got my module, and I've been playing around, and I forgot I had the headset on, and I was away quite a considerable distance from the 200, and I was using the Blue Parrot Highway 2. I was outside the vehicle, and I was very surprised in that I pretty much almost walked into the service station to pay for the fuel when I could still hear chatter going, which was very hard when I had the 400 in the vehicle. So because the BU4 is mounted in the headset, the head rather than in the body, it looks like it's gave it quite a considerable bit of range, but anyway, I've got a few other headsets I want to try as well, but anyway, I thought I'd just add that. The Blue Parrot Highway 2 seems to have a good range with the BU4. But the other thing too, that Chris opened the Pandora's box on 6-meter digital, and that I've been doing a lot of experiments with Matt, and on analog, he's some 60 k's away from me, and on analog, the path was absolutely RS, but on digital, that's it's like as if he's standing alongside me. But the other is that when there are the openings, look out for VK5PO. He is one of the best 6-meter stations here in South Australia, and that he runs a considerable amount of power. He also does Earth, Moon, Earth as well. But he would be a station that you want to look out for, and that he really is an avid 6-meter. I'm not sure if he's gone to digital yet on there, but you will hear him on analog. But I'm hoping to get him converted over. He's already popped up a couple of times on C4FM. So hopefully you may hear his signal come through. Anyway, thanks, gentlemen, and thanks for the great broadcast as well. Back to net control.
All right, Pete. Well, thank you very much for that. And with that, I'm going to bring the net to an end. Remember, we meet here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time and cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, CK0 4RK, and everyone have a great week. 7:30.